The juxtaposition of two thoughts can sometimes lead to a dilemma. We can see that sometimes in the way bulletins are constructed in the local parishes. You know, for instance, a meeting of Weight Watchers will take place in the church hall. Please use the double doors to the left. A meeting to overcome low self-esteem. Please use the entrance in the rear. My favorite is, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Juxtaposition of kind of two ideas can sometimes lead to a different conclusion. And sometimes, like in this instance, where we're smiling, we have the juxtaposition of two ideas here in the gospel. We have Jesus' teaching as he's confronted and really tested. So that's important for us to understand. He's being tested. And then, of course, suddenly this passage about the blessing of children. Where's the wisdom in that? Seems like it's taking our focus and using two completely different things. Well, I'm going to try to bring them together for you and talk about why there is a wisdom in what the church has in tacking that aspect of the blessing of children on to the aspect of divorce. Now, when I say Jesus being tested, he is. He's a rabbi, he's a teacher, so they're always trying to position him. Always. Any public figure, any figure of renown, individuals always want to try to place them, box them into a relationship. Whose side are you really on? There are two schools of thought, the Shammai and the Hillel school concerning divorce. Shammai was a very strict interpretation of the divorce laws, and the Hillel was kind of a liberal interpretation. So what they were doing with Jesus is they were trying to pin him down. You know, they're trying to put him into one school or the other. Interesting thing what Jesus does. He takes it out of the controversy. He takes it out of the interpretation of the law as being either strict or liberal. And he says, let's go back to the root. Open up the scriptures. Take a look at what's being said. What is said at the time of creation? And what's missed here is Jesus is also elevating the status of women. For in the interpretation of the divorce laws was a sense that women were possessions. They were chattel. They were chattel. Possessions. And just like a possession, it can sometimes be given away, traded, offered. But when Jesus takes us back to creation, he has us refocus. Why did God create man and woman? Created them to be complementary to each other. And therein lies the nature of marriage. That from the very beginning, God destined us, humankind, to be generated through the complementarity of man and woman becoming one. And therefore sharing in the procreative power of God. Jesus goes on to say, and in one of the passages, if you remember, when talking about in the relationship of talking about St. Paul is talking about the relationship of a man and a woman, saying in that word that we don't like, wives, you should obey your husbands. But what does they say after that? It says, husbands, love your wives. It's a greater mandate on that. Love your wives as Christ loves the church, his bride, the church. So there is really kind of an elevation of the status of women in hidden within this passage. So Jesus kind of refocuses and has us take a look at what really God calls us to understand in terms of the nature of marriage. When taking a look at that, we understand something further. We understand that when the word divorce is used, it triggers all sorts of responses, and I'm sure that's true here. And we know the tragedy of divorce within our society. We know how it's had an effect on marriage. We know the aspects of the tragedy of those entering into a marriage without the consideration or the thought that should be given to such a step. The understanding of the very nature of marriage being founded in that love of God. But we know also when it reflects the beauty of God's presence, it feeds all of us. It feeds our entire society. It feeds our church. And I can say that without hesitancy. You take a look at my life, I'm a celibate, so I'm not married. So what is he doing up here talking about marriage? I'm up here talking about marriage because I'm a product of the marriage. And why am I up here talking as a celibate? Because I support it. I can stand back as a witness and I can talk about the beauty of marriage, the beauty of family life, and how the church herself grows in relationship to the celebration of marriage and family life. Where do vocations come from? Well, I can tell you oftentimes it's those good families, it's good marriage. It's allowing God to be a part of their lives that suddenly their children take a look and say to the rest of the world and our society and our church, I can devote my life based upon the love that I've experienced and the love that I see. Now, we all know there's difficulties within marriage. We all know that. It's true. And we would never, deny those facts. But the most serious aspect is when a couple does not allow or permit God to be a part of their marriage. They deny to each other the most intimate value in each other's lives. And they deny the strength that is offered. The strength that is offered through God to reinforce what was said from the very beginning. The two shall become one. The two become one in God's presence in that marriage. Now, why do we have suddenly this blessing of children and the response of Jesus? Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it. Because sometimes in the harder teachings of Jesus, what we need is we need a childlike wonder and awe. We need that childlike wonder and awe. The child hasn't been so jaded and fashioned by a world that it fails to see the mystery that surrounds it. In fact, most of us are elevated by children's insights about the world. About a child walking through a park and suddenly looking at a beautiful tree, a large tree, and marveling at that. Look, Mom, look, Dad. Isn't that a beautiful tree? We might have walked just right by, but the child's eyes is constantly taking in the mystery and celebrating that fact. Unless you become like a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. We embrace the mystery. Jesus is not calling us to be little children again, to give up our maturity, to give up any sense of our intellect. But what Jesus is calling us to do is to have the eyes of a child, to open ourselves up to the mystery, and to celebrate one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit, wonder and awe. Recognizing this God and this beautiful, beautiful mystery that's placed before us. And I say in the wisdom of the church, perhaps the church is giving us this passage right at the end to help us open up our eyes to celebrate the mystery. Even though the teaching is difficult, the mystery is what's important. To understand God's presence being revealed in and through that. So it's not our own lives forcing the teaching to conform to us, but understanding how we must conform to God's will in the teaching. And we must celebrate that fact. We must understand His presence. Everyone wants for their children a blessing. I can tell you, especially when I'm in a lot of the ethnic communities and celebrating Mass, if this were a Hispanic community and I were in the back of the church, I couldn't get out of this church without giving at least 100 or 200 individual blessings. And most of the time, it's moms, sometimes dads, holding up their children or putting their children before and saying to me, "Could you bless my child?" Well, there I am, basically in the back of the church, even though everybody's received a large blessing, individual blessing on each of them. There is a sense of wanting that blessing conveyed to their children. They want their children to understand that they're valued by God and by them. So important it is. And it was important for the mothers here during this time to bring their children to Jesus. Jesus, you know, an important rabbi, a holy man. And we all want to associate with those individuals who have achieved that sense. We want to be in the presence of those who are holy. And rightfully so, the mothers of these children wanted their children to be in the presence of a holy man and to be blessed. Jesus taking that opportunity to tell the rest of us about the blessings that we have when we open up our eyes to understand and embrace the mystery that surrounds us and not allow ourselves to become so jaded that we fail to hear His word when He Himself is speaking. When we open up our hearts and minds, we are truly blessed. In the name of the Father and of the Son,